Thank you for downloading this message from our Father's house.
Praise the Lord, saints. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm thankful for his presence. Can we just lift our hands just for a moment? Outside of the music, outside of the worship, the real worship is when you're by yourself and you just lift your hands and you just say, Lord, let my heart speak to you. Father, you're worthy. Father, you're glorious. You're worthy to be praised. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive our honor, all glory, all praise. For through you all things were made, and for you we were made for your pleasure, Lord. Father, let us always get the revelation that there is nothing that we can do outside of your grace. There is nothing that we can do, Lord, outside of you. For you said that outside of you, we can do nothing. We just reverence your spirit and your presence, Lord. Father, we just don't want to come for a normal church service. We want a visitation. We want an encounter with the glory of your presence. In Jesus' name, we pray, Lord. We love you. We honor you. We glorify you, Lord. We understand, Lord, and we help us be open to the change that you're trying to bring, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Let's quickly just get into the word. I've been studying this word for a couple of weeks, and I believe that this word is not for everybody, but it's for somebody. And it's up to you whether you're receptive to what the Lord is trying to say or whether or not. You know, I would rather you be receptive to what the Spirit of God is saying, because God knows better than what you do. And that's just the truth. But open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. As Pastor was saying, I'm glad my family's here. They threw it down in the kitchen Friday. But Luke chapter 8, verse 26. Just stay with me for a little bit. I have a couple, little bit to read, and then we'll break it down. Luke 8, 26. And they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he had come out unto the land, he was met by a certain man from the city who was possessed with demons, and who had not put on any clothing for a long time, and was not living in a house, but in the tombs. And seeing Jesus, he cried out and fell before him and said in a loud voice, What do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. For he who had been commanding the unclean spirit to come out of the man, For it had seized him many times, and he was bound with chains and shackles and kept under guard. And yet he would burst his fetters and be driven by the demon into the desert. And Jesus asked him, What is your name? And he said, Legion, for many demons have entered him. And they were entreating him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now there was a herd of many swine feeding there on the mountain, and the demons entreated him to permit them to enter the swine, and he gave them permission. The demons came out from the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. And when the herdsmen saw what had happened, they ran away and reported it into the city and out into the country. And the people went out to see what had happened. I want you to focus on that. The people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting down at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they became frightened. And those who had seen it reported to them how the man who was demon-possessed had been made well. And all the people of the country of the Gerasenes and the surrounding district asked him to depart from them, for they were gripped with great fear, and he got into a boat, and he returned. Let me see here. But the man from whom the demons had gone out was begging him that he might accompany him, but he sent him away, saying, Return to your house, describe what great things God has done for you. And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Now read just verse 40 down there. And as Jesus returned, the multitude welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, I ask that you give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Lord, let us be open to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Give us ears to hear. Give us a mind to comprehend. Give us a heart to receive, God, what you want to do in our region, what you want to do for our people, Lord. And I just ask you, God, that we may be submissive to your will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's get into the word. I'm very excited about what God has begun to do. But what God has begun to do, the enemy will bring resistance. Amen. Last week, I believe my pastor preached, in my opinion, one of the greatest messages that I have ever heard him preach before. He preached to us the revelation that we are sons and daughters of the living God. That we have the capability to call him Father. And if that doesn't, that itself doesn't change your relationship with the Lord, I don't know what it'll take for it to change. But listen, I believe that this week we're moving. Change is coming, and we're moving into another area where sons and daughters who are revealed to be that God is their Father, those sons and daughters will get the revelation that true sons and daughters of the living God submit to the will of the Father. True sons and daughters submit to the will of the Father. What do you mean, Pastor? Look at Jesus. He was the only begotten Son of God, and he submitted in every form, shape, and manner to the will of the Father. Never once was what he wanted to do in himself. He never subjected anybody to what God wanted, what Christ wanted to do in himself. He could have been like, Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't want to. I don't want to go over here. I don't want to go touch that person's nasty feet and, you know, and wash Peter's feet. I don't want to do that, Lord. No, I don't want that. But he did it in subjection to God because he understood that the change that God was going to bring to the region was greater than what he was doing himself. He understood that he had much change to bring, much change to impart into 12 disciples because ultimately God's plan was going to prevail. Let me make a disclaimer here. What I'm about to preach, I'm not telling anybody in this place that you're demon possessed. So just because I'm reading this right here, do not get all, oh my, Pastor Brandon said I'm possessed. No, I didn't say that. But we're going to deal with some things that are in scripture that I believe that we need to pay attention to. Because if we don't pay attention to what God is speaking right here, woe unto us if we miss what God wants to do. Woe unto me, woe unto us as leadership and as church members if we miss what God is trying to do in this region. Listen, we have preached it multiple times. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about our Father's house. There is a region, there is people out there who are lost, seeking, searching for something real. And if we don't get our act together, we're going to miss what God wants to do. We're going to miss what God wants to do. So let's get into the word. The first thing you see here, there's a man who is possessed by a legion of demons. And Christ had come from one part of Galilee to the other side. And the moment he gets there, the demonic spirit recognizes who Christ is. Recognizes who Christ was. And he's the one who ran up to Christ. And he began to basically argue with Jesus. What do you want with me? My time hasn't come. What do you want with me? So Jesus cast out the demons and it went into a herd of pigs. So I began to look past the demonic. It's great that the demoniac was healed. I'm glad he needed it. But I began to focus on the response to the change that Jesus had brought, the response from the people. The change that Christ had brought did not sit well with the people of the area. First of all, the Bible says right here in verse 29, that he was chained up and kept under guard. My question is, who in the world would want to keep a demon-possessed man around? If somebody would walk into this church and an evil spirit would possess him, we wouldn't just sit here and let him sit at the back, disturbing the service, disturbing what God wants to do in our midst. Some of the leadership would get up, would take him to a place where we're by ourselves with him, and that demon would be cast out of here, and that person would be delivered. So I began to look at this like, who in the world would want a demon-possessed person chained up and kept? You know what happened? They got comfortable. They got accustomed to the demon-possessed man. Because the Bible says that multiple times he had been shackled. He had been bound multiple times, and each time that he was bound, he broke free. And he was thrown into the desert. That reminds me, that's how some of the church is nowadays. Listen, the chains and the shackles just represent the symptoms being taken care of. The root of the issue hadn't come. They hadn't been removed yet. The root of the problem was that there was a legion of demons inside the man. But as long as we take care of the symptoms of what's happening within us, I can get comfortable with what's going on inside of me. Ain't nobody's business what I'm going through. Ain't nobody's business of what I'm supposed to be doing. As long as I come to church on Wednesday and on Sunday, I get my little bit of relief and I leave the place unchanged. But deep inside is the root of the issue that you don't want nobody to take care of. And overall, that affects the congregation in total. I was down. It's not just about Brandon. It's not just about Pastor Justin or Pastor Odie or leadership. We don't carry the church. We need you to help us. We are the spiritual authority of the church, and our pastor leads it, but it can't just be left up to us. What do you mean? The Bible talks about a man named, what was his name? An AI. I forgot his name already. Lord Jesus. No, the Achan. He thought it was all about himself. He said, if nobody's going to see me plunder and steal this, I'll go ahead and bury it under my tent, and nobody will know about it. But guess what happened? Guess what happened? God knew about it, and they went into war, and they were decimated because of one man's sin. One man's sin. God told Joshua, Israel has sinned. Not Achan, Israel has sinned. What is that? What am I trying to tell you? It's not just about you. We need each and every person to be on board and submitted to the will of God to be able to move forward with what Jesus is trying to do. And I pray you get that revelation today. So the chains and the fetters was just the symptoms. And they grew accustomed to the demonic man. It became a way of life. Oh yeah, the guy's just running around naked. Go get him. Go get him and chain him up again. I don't want him scaring none of the kids. I don't want him scaring none of the villagers. Just go ahead and get him and tie him up and we'll deal with him that way. But what happened was Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee. And you know the story, but you know the story before that great storm had come and Jesus calmed the storm and he delivered the man. Let me tell you one thing. The Bible talks about that whenever he delivered the man, they went into a herd of pigs. You know what that lets you know? That lets you know that that side of the Galilee was not a Jewish side. Because what Jew would surround himself with nothing but pigs? Ain't that crazy? That Jesus was going to a Gentile area before his crucifixion. Before the gospel was even open to the Gentiles because of the rejection of the Jews, Christ was going to another side where he wasn't supposed to be. Because all that he was charged to do was to go to the people of Israel. But there were certain situations in the life of Jesus where he would make an exception and he would bring healing and deliverance and he would bring just freedom to people who really didn't deserve it. And those people took advantage of it. But these people did not. So what happens? Jesus shows up and he initiates permanent change in the man who was possessed. Go ahead and put that scripture up, Jacob. Is Jacob back there? No? It's on the Message Bible. It's Luke 8:37. He has it set up back there. Watch this. Go back to number 36 in the Message. Go back one more. I want to show you something. Go back another one. I guess I got it wrong. Right here. The last part of this verse. It was a holy moment. That's the way the Message describes what Jesus did for the demoniac. A holy, divine moment that this man encountered is what happened to that man. Go back to verse 37. Let's go ahead and read it in the Message Bible. Later, a great many people from the Gerasene countryside got together and asked Jesus to leave. Focus on the next five words. Too much change, too fast. And they were scared. We'll focus on the next message later. We'll focus on the next group. That itself can preach. How in the world
sometimes I ask the Lord this when I'm studying, how in the world are you going to put up with a demon-possessed man? But the Bible says they saw the man sitting at Jesus' feet in his right mind, and they were frightened. Call that an oxymoron. See a nasty, dirty, possessed man who's naked, everything hanging out, and you're just like, oh man, I ain't scared. But then you see the man clothed and in his right mind, and you freak out. That's where the church is at right now. Yeah, man, Lord, save the prostitute, save the drug addict, Lord. And they walk in here stinking, and you're like, ooh. Yeah. Yeah. I'll extend my hand. And I'll pray, Lord. And then what happens? People come in, they get saved. And you know what happens in the church? You get intimidated. Ooh. Ooh, what do you mean this person wants to serve? What do you mean this person wants to lead prayer? What do you mean this person wants to be in the worship team? They haven't been saved that long. They haven't been saved. What do you mean this person wants to be a deacon, be in leadership? Why is he wanting to serve so much? And you begin to get intimidated because your self-righteousness, you who have been serving the Lord for 10, 20, 30 years, think you know everything. But then whenever Jesus wrecks somebody's life and the person that you were fakely believing would get saved actually gets saved, you begin to get intimidated. You begin to freak out because God begins to do stuff in the midst. So what happens? You begin to resist what God is doing. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's break this down. So the town people, they freak out. Because the herdsmen go and tell them how he was delivered by Jesus. They were struck with so much fear. Those people, there's two different kinds of people. Those who have become content in their walk with Christ. And, you know, just me, no more. I don't want to be pushed. I don't want to be challenged. And then there are those who are just like, God, give me as much as you possibly can. Let my cup overflow. I want to burn. I want a burning heart for you. And they both clash. And the one who starts to clash is the one who's self-satisfied with where they're at. Why you got to worship like that? Why you got to praise like that? Why she got to run? Why she got to jump up and down? Why you got to do all this right here? Intimidated. Those who seek the face of the Lord, those who want more, those who want change, those who embrace godly and holy change, the results are awe and wonder. Marvel. Man, Jesus showed up in a mighty way. God, we want more. Give us a greater measure. Those who don't want to embrace holy and godly change become full of fear and intimidation. Because things are changing too fast, and if they can't control it, they resist it. But let me tell you one thing. The people who want more of God are the ones who you're not fighting against. You're fighting against God himself. You think that God is going to stop doing what he's doing in the regions just because you're upset about it? I'm going to pour out awakening into Southeast Kentucky. No, you're not. Okay, I'm not. No. That's not the way that it goes. The Lord is saying, I'm going to pour out awakening in Southeast Kentucky, and you better get on board because woe unto you if you miss it. Woe unto you if you miss what God wants to do. What God is beginning to change in this place means that we have to change ourselves. And sometimes change hurts. But it's exactly, you know what, and you know what? If you don't change, you keep on going full circle all the time. You keep dealing with this and the symptoms get fixed, but the root of the issue is not changed. And until you finally embrace the change of Jesus Christ, you won't have full freedom and what you possibly can be doing for Christ. Jesus wants you to live fully alive unto the Lord. As fully alive as you possibly can. But it's those things within our heart that we don't want to change. Because we're afraid to let go of our right to be right. And we're afraid to let go of what God wants to control in our lives. And of just the mere fact that you resist the Holy Spirit, that's where gossip. And that's where a spirit of complacency and criticizing and all these different things begin to creep in. And you know what? They creep in such a way that you don't even know you're doing it. You have no idea that you're doing it. And in your mind, you think you're right. But God wants to do greater. God wants to do more. God has such a... Listen, God, I was downstairs praying. I said, Lord, if you would just give us a glimpse into what you want to do, I believe each and every one of us would be 100% on board. 100% on board. So he wants to deal with the issues within us. And some of you have already felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit that God wants to change some things. And you're right at the threshold. And all you have to do is say, God, I submit my will to yours. I submit my right to be right and everything that I can control and just cross over and it's going to be great for you. A newfound freedom that you have never really even experienced before. Just the fact that you live fully alive to the Lord by submitting your will. And shaking off the indifference. There's some in here that are indifferent. Oh, it don't matter to me. I just know I got to go to church because that's the right thing to do. But God wants you to come into this place and he wants to bless you with his presence. He wants to bless you with his presence. Listen, there's been times and I have sensed and pastor and them can agree with me. I have sensed some times where I have been here and we have been in worship, both in the youth and the adult band, and we rush to the next song. We got to sing the next song. We got to sing the next song. And the Lord just wants to come in and he wants to abide with us. He wants to abide with us. There's been a couple of times that I have sensed it where we've gone between one song and the next, and in that in-between moment is where Jesus walks in. And he just wants to abide and he just wants to begin to minister to you because you called him down and he came. And he came. Because there's a lot, listen, the presence of God is more important than the next song, church. And I believe we're full of talent in this place, but there's many people here who are dealing with things that need an awareness and the presence of God and not talent. Talent ain't going to get us anywhere anymore. That's what I tell my youth band. Get in the prayer closet during the week. Yes. You're not just going to come up to the pulpit and jump on the guitar and jump on the microphone and jump on the drums and jump on the thing and think that you can lead the presence of people to the presence of God when you haven't sensed the presence of God all week. God is calling us higher, church. He's calling us to another level and we have to change some things. Some of us have to go from being led to fasting to actually fasting, from being led to pray to actually praying. God wants to change the way we serve. God wants to change the way we worship. God wants to change everything in this church for us to get to the new level of glory. Last month's anointing is not good enough. We want something better. We want something new. We want something greater. And we resist the Holy Spirit because we don't agree with what God is trying to do. And when we resist the Holy Spirit, we begin to manifest in resisting your spiritual authority. Yeah, I said it. Yes. I said it again. You resist the spiritual authority that God has placed over you. Yeah. Because you think you know better. Jesus. So they freak out and they're messed up because they care more about the pigs, 2,000 pigs that drowned, than one man's soul. And they could not embrace the holy divine moment that had come. So what do? You need to go. You need to go, Jesus. You done messed everything up. It's going to take years to replace the pigs. Let's not forget that a pig was an unclean animal that they held priceless. Some of the things that we deal with inside that God wants to let us know, we're like this. I don't want to let it go because it's priceless. And the Lord is saying, it's filth. Let it go. It's unclean. Let it go. I got more for you. I got more for you than what you have and you count priceless. Let it go. Let it go. Tell your neighbor, let it go. John's laughing at me like, oh my gosh. Praise the Lord. They focused too much on what had been lost. What could they have possibly gained if they would just have welcomed the moment that Jesus was there? So what do they say? You need to go. And what does Jesus do? Okay. He got on the boat and he did what? He left. Yes. He left. So what happens after that? And I'm almost done. You know how I'm a short-winded preacher? Sometimes I'm a long-winded preacher. Sometimes I'm a no-winded preacher. So he left. He left the area. And it makes me wonder, what did they miss? What could have possibly happened in the area of the Gerasenes if they would just have embraced the miracle and the holy moment, the divine visitation of God himself? If the demon-possessed man was the biggest issue they had, man, they struck gold. If the biggest issue they had was the demon-possessed man. So what does the Bible say? They asked him to leave. They were more worried of keeping the things the way they were than actually experiencing change. Yes, that's right. So what happens? Jesus departs from them. We know that when Jesus departs, because you resisted the Holy Spirit. So the man who's possessed says, you know what? Jesus, let me come with you. Let me come with you. Because what I have experienced is not in this place. I just witnessed with my own eyes that they rejected you. And I don't want to be in any area where you're being rejected, because what you gave me and what I have now, it has never been in this place. Let them stay dead. Let them stay complacent. Let them stay happy with all that they're doing. But I want to go where the Spirit of God follows. I mean, where the Spirit of God leads. I want to go where Jesus is. So here's what happened. He tells them, no, you can't come with me. Let's read it real quick. He tells them, return to your house and describe what great thing God has done for you. And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city with great things Jesus had done for him. There's another story in another synoptic gospel, which is Mark chapter 5. It's the same story. At the very end of that, it says, he said, go, that the man went preaching what Jesus Christ had done to him in a place called the Decapolis. 10 Greek cities possibly experienced what? Awakening because of one man's testimony. So what God had planned for the Gerasene region, he sent it elsewhere. You don't want it? I got somebody else who's crying out for it over here. And I pour it upon them. I'm gonna make it more down to a single level. There's a bunch of us in here. There's a lot of us that want God, more of God, more Lord, greater measure. And there's some that say, you know what? I'm good. I'm all right. You know what? That's fine. God's going to pour it out upon those who are hungry and upon those who God wants. But you know what? Why wouldn't it be better for all of us to get in the same mindset and have a spirit of unity and let the Lord pour out his spirit upon everybody? You want to know the fastest way to take care of resistance? And the fastest way to take care of criticism and the fastest way to take care of murmuring, get in a united spirit and submit to what God is doing. And submit to change. So Jesus crosses back in verse 40 says, and Jesus returned, the multitude welcomed him. What does it say? For they had been waiting for him. There's a difference between those that are watching and waiting from the Lord and those who just happen to stumble into the presence of God. I want us to be a church where we're constantly watching and we're waiting for what Christ wants to do. And waiting for the Lord means you got to get past Wednesday and Sunday Christianity. If I'm getting on your nerves by saying that constantly, well, too bad. It's the truth. It's the truth. You got to get past Wednesday and Sunday services. Wednesday and Sunday services are not the norm any longer. I'm looking forward for this presence of God to come down as I'm sitting in the couch eating my food on a Tuesday night, because my heart and my mind have been on the Lord all day at work. And when I get to a secret place where it's quiet, I begin to feel the Lord pour it out upon me. That's what I want to get to. And in return, when I bring that into the service, the fire that's within me throughout the week just adds on to the entire people. Listen, you have family members, you have children, you have people in your life that are in need of Christ, and it's you who can lead them to them. It is that fire that God can place within you when you're outside of church that can change people's lives. That's what we have always been talking about. We've been talking about that for over 2 years. Get into the presence of God. Take it outside. Talk to people about Jesus at work. Get fire while you're out and about in the church and come and give it to people here. Church should be what God has already been speaking to you in private. Listen, I believe in the anointing and the laying on of hands and of praying for people. But if you have no faith yourself to get in the presence and then prayer closet and ask for healing, God ain't going to heal you. That's just the way it is. Why are you going to tell me that, Pastor Brandon? Because why are you going to tell me that God's not going to heal me, Pastor Brandon? Because you're dependent on other people's faith. Every time that Jesus healed somebody in the Bible, he said, let it be as you have believed. Your faith has healed you. Not the person sitting on the fourth row in the third chair. Their faith has healed you. No, it's you by yourself. You by yourself. The Bible says walk out your own what? Salvation. With fear and trembling. Your own. Your own. When you stand before God, you're not going to stand with our Father's house. Well, Lord, I used to worship and you know, I was there. I had my lifted, my hands lifted. No. What did you do? What did you do? What do you do by yourself to seek the face of God? Church, listen, we can't miss what God wants to do. Woe unto us if we miss what the Lord is trying to do in this region. I don't want to be part of a church that compromises, that is content with just a trickle of water. I want God to just pour it out continuously. There's a reason why David said in Psalm 23, my cup is overflowing. Because I believe that he constantly experienced an outpouring of God's presence. That's why he was named a man after God's own heart. Because God poured it out upon him and he became addicted to the presence of God. That he constantly wanted to be with him. That's what is called a first love. Constantly desiring the Lord. Dan, you can come up here if you're ready, but he's even back there. We're going to go ahead and give you a chance to pray. The hardest thing for us to do, because I always believe that as a church period, not just anybody, as a church period, we're quick to say, yes, Lord, I receive with my mouth, but we don't do it with the heart. And the most important part is the heart. Not just changing with lip service, but changing with heart service. Saying, Lord, I receive what you're trying to do. And I receive in my heart. And the hardest prayer to pray is, God, expose those areas of my heart. Show me those things that need to change that I can change in myself. We have been standing up here for over 2 years. Preaching revival. Preaching a spirit of awakening. And a lot of people are like, oh, we don't have a spirit of awakening there. We don't have a spirit of revival. Some of you might not say it, but I believe some of you think it. We don't have that. We don't. Why do we have two miracle babies in this place with us? Why did a girl who don't even come here show up in our midst and then get prayed over and she was healed of cervical cancer? What do you call that? When people come into this place that aren't even part of our congregation, they come from Ohio, they come from all over this place, people who have the right to say, I'm part of a huge worldwide ministry. And they open their mouth and they say, man. And they begin to text back home. Man, what's in that place is not everywhere. I feel the freedom to preach in that place because of the worship. With the spirit of God that you have in that place, I have not seen in places where I preach in front of 10,000 people. And there's not a spirit of awakening or revival in this place. And we want to take it back to the way that it used to be and the way that makes us comfortable and how we can control things when God is saying, I got greater. I got greater. I got more of that. Listen, I wouldn't have come to this region if I didn't have a heart for the people here. I drive up and down the road and I go to work and I have a heart for the people here. I'm tired of hearing of people being drug addicted. I'm tired of being people prostituting themselves. Just last week, I heard of a friend of mine that I work with named Benjamin Gray, whose brother, he walked in on his brother hanging himself. Hanging himself. And I'm tired of dead churches that don't do nothing. It don't matter that you open your doors. Apparently, you didn't do a good job because that man didn't know about Jesus. Apparently, whatever church he may have even walked into did not do a good job in telling him, hey, you know what? God can deliver you through the blood of Jesus Christ of all your circumstances and all your issues that you don't have to end your life. But he still did it. You know how much that broke my heart? And we're literally implanted in an area that surrounds us that I believe is one of the darkest regions in the spirit realm in Kentucky. And yet, because we can't get it together in here, some of us, it affects how we act with people out there. Church, it's more than us. It's more than just me personally. It's more than just each and individual person here. God wants to do something great in this region. Don't reject Christ. Don't reject. Don't let the moment, the holy moment, pass you by. Don't let it pass you by. Don't let it pass you by, because what do you have if it does? Normal church services? Where people come in and they leave with the same thing that they were struggling with. If you want to stand to your feet real quick, I'm going to give you a chance to pray. You know what? Most people probably say, you know what, man, Brandon's words are always challenging. You know what? They're going to continue to be challenging, and that's what the Lord's going to keep giving me until I sense different change. Why does the Lord keep releasing these type of words? Because he keeps seeing things that need to go. He looks down and he says, man, there's so much that I can do. There's so much that I can do. And there's so much resistance. Why? Why? It's not about you anyways. It's like I said in the very beginning. You can only do what you do because God has given you the grace to do it. It's by him that you do what you do. I challenge you. This word messed me up. You know how? Because I said, Lord, what can I change within me? Is there something that I'm doing? Is there something within my heart is there another way that I can submit more to my pastor? Is there something else that I can do that influences people to jump on the bandwagon and come with us? There's a lot of things in your life that can change if you're willing to allow the Lord to take over. And I believe God has already begun to speak to some people here today to say, listen, this is what needs to go. This is what needs to go. This is what needs to go right here. It's not prices in my eyes. What I have for you is much more priceless. Some people think, I wish I could be more of a prayer warrior. I wish I could fast some more. I wish I had a better relationship with God. Here's your opportunity. Here's your opportunity. Lord, show me. Show me those things in my heart that cause me to only wish and not to do. Let's move from wishing to being, church. Listen, and you know what? I'm going to join you right here in the front, because me too. Me too. This is for me as well. To go deeper and to live fully alive to the Lord. And the only way that we can live fully alive to the Lord and to his will is by being submitted to the will of God. And going from saying yes, Lord, with our mouth and actually doing it with our heart. So if y'all want to go ahead and sing a song, that's fine. But you know what? I'll see you here at the altar. Let's all find a place to pray. If this is in any way God has spoken to your heart, I challenge you, come. Come. And you will see what God can do for you.
More information about Our Father's House or upcoming events, please log on to www.ourfathershouseky.org.